You are listening to the Catholic Exchange Podcast. Hello and welcome to the Catholic Exchange Podcast. This is Michael Litchens, your faithful editor and host here once again with CatholicExchange.com. Today I want to introduce to you all a very impressive artist, a Catholic artist named Timothy Schmaltz, who is up from Canada. He's done some amazing work, but recently one of his statues has gone viral, if an art piece can actually go viral. Pope Francis has actually installed it, and it's called The Homeless Jesus. It depicts Christ asleep on a bench and is a statue that moves everyone I know that's been able to see it, either in person or on pictures. There's a lot of conversation that happens, as it happens with any great art, and we're going to be here to talk about it with Tim. So, Tim, thank you so much for joining us on the Catholic Exchange Podcast.
Oh, it's a pleasure being here.
Oh, good. Glad to hear it. To get started here, I wanted to just bring up to our readers that you've actually had Pope Francis bless the statue in Rome recently. Is that correct?
Yes, it was an amazing experience to have Pope Francis actually bless the sculpture, and one of the highlights of my life, I would have to say.
Oh, how could it not be? That is amazing. Where in Rome is the statue at the moment?
The sculpture was installed during Holy Week in front of the Papal Charities building in the Vatican, which to me, for the piece, the sculpture is being installed in so many different cities around the world. But to have the sculpture installed at this place is so symbolic and so important. I can't think of a better place in the whole world for the sculpture. So that's nice to say, actually.
I can imagine. And to describe the statue a little bit, of course, we'll have pictures on CatholicExchange.com. You can even, I noticed if you just type in Homeless Jesus on Google, it brings you right up there to see examples of it. But it's a great statue. The line that comes to mind is the late, great Rich Mullins, who wrote a song about how the whole world rests on the shoulders of a homeless man. And that's what I was thinking. But can you describe, Tim, what was the inspiration for this statue? What really made you want to depict Christ as, you know, a homeless man asleep on a bench?
Well, it's interesting because I think this is, out of all my sculptures, the sculpture I've thought of most in my life. And it's interesting because it really does start a dialogue. And I think that I'm probably one of the sculptors out there that has sculpted the face of Jesus thousands of times. I've been sculpting Christian artwork ever since I was 19 years old. I'm 46 now. A lot of the artwork I do is very traditional. I'm looking for the perfect body of the perfect Jesus, and that's exciting to do. This sculpture here was an inspiration. I was driving downtown Toronto, big city, probably one of the busiest streets, November around 5 years ago. And I saw a human form covered completely in a sleeping bag or a blanket or something. Not living in the big city anymore. You always get a joke when you come in and especially when you see the marginalized people. And I turned around and I saw this precious human being lying down, sleeping in the middle of the day. And instantly I thought, I just saw Jesus. That was that just kept echoing through my soul all the time I was in Toronto. I get back to my nice little hamlet here in St. Jacob's, and I'm still consistently seeing that image and feeling that experience. So being a sculptor, I thought what I would do is I would sculpt that experience I had where I saw Jesus in one of the least of our brothers, and with the hopes that other people would be encouraged to have the same experience I did that day. And so, yeah, kind of using Matthew 25 and my own experiences, I started to create a sculpture that looked very like the person I saw that day in November. However, I have the whole figure covered except for the feet, where because the feet are exposed, you actually can see the wounds of being on the cross.
Wow.
Why I did this was because what I wanted to do was just like Matthew 25, where it's a process. It's almost theater how Jesus unfolds his identity within the least of our brothers. And so like Matthew 25, there is that punch where all of a sudden, oh, it's Jesus. It's not just any thirsty, hungry, naked stranger out there. It's actually Jesus. And the cool thing about it, so I put it on the figure on a park bench. The initial figure I saw in Toronto, he is just lying on a big base, a big stone, concrete structure. But I wanted to put him on a park bench because it's kind of more an urban idea to see someone sleeping on a park bench.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually left a little bit of space there so someone can sit down right beside the sculpture. And it's almost like a very strange cue. When I was actually sculpting, I was sitting there and I was thinking, oh my God, this is the closest I've ever come to anything resembling a homeless person. And because you have this sleeping form, it's really haunting in a sense. And the sculpture has been mistaken for a real homeless person many times. And it does have that power about it. And I think what the cool thing about it is it takes Matthew 25 and it kind of performs it. And so I think that's part of the reason why it's having such an impact.
It does have an impact on a lot of people. I know within my circles and within the Catholic media, it's been lauded very well. And in the circles I travel in, it has. But it's also been described as controversial, which I found, maybe I just live in a bubble, but I found a little strange. What have your thoughts been to both reactions, especially the people who might have taken issue with the statue?
Yeah, well, I basically consider my whole studio a bubble, a very safe bubble that has ideas that I really agree with. And I presumed when I actually created this sculpture, that people would get it, Matthew 25. I think it's one of the most hardcore ideas of the Gospels. But, oh my goodness, even today, for every 9 people that love it, you'll have the 10% that will absolutely hate it. And the fascinating thing is, what I believe about it is, probably out of all, Google Jesus or face of Jesus on images, and you'll basically find almost one representation of Jesus throughout hundreds and hundreds of years of the history of Western artwork. And so I think that people get upset about is they're not used to seeing Jesus or a visual translation of Matthew 25. They're used to seeing Jesus represented as the beautiful, as the perfect. And the history of hundreds of years of representing Jesus as Christ the King, as the perfect, is really kind of shocking when you see his words, him represented as he represented himself in his words. And that's, I think the powerful thing about this. But then again, you also have a lot of Christian people that don't really get the idea that this is a visual interpretation. And that how you're supposed to experience the artwork is kind of more theological rather than historical. And people get an idea, debates. Pope Francis, when he came to Washington, said Jesus was homeless. And one could barely argue that he was born in a manger. But the idea of the sculpture is more just a visual translation of Matthew 25. And so I think that's a very, very challenging part of the gospel. And people don't necessarily want to be reminded of Jesus when they see, you know, a half-drunk bag lady walking the streets. They don't want that connection. They don't want to have that spiritual moment at that time. And I get it. Actually, when the sculpture was dedicated and blessed in Dublin at the Christ Church Cathedral, that was an amazing blessing because both the Catholic Archbishop and the Anglican Archbishop do a dual blessing in Dublin at the Christ Church Cathedral. The sculpture's right in front of the cathedral. But on my way, I was rushing to the dedication downtown Dublin, and a homeless man who wasn't happy with the amount of money I gave him started following me, kind of asking me, can you give me more? There's a bank machine over there. And he was just so aggressive. And I thought, this is just absolutely ironic. I'm being chased by a homeless person as I go to the Homeless Jesus Dedication in Dublin, Ireland, right? But it is challenging. It's what I think is fascinating about the Bible and Christianity is it does challenge us. And and as far as my Christianity is concerned, it's very comforting. If ever I'm upset, I'm on my knees and praying. But also, it's not only a comfort; it's a challenge. It's asking you to do to go out of your comfort zone. And so that's what this sculpture is in a sense a symbol of. The challenge of Christianity, the hardcore Christianity. And so when I see 10% of people saying Jesus was not a beggar or Jesus should be helping the broken, he's not one of the broken. Mm-hmm. You know, it's medicine in a sense to make people remember some of the hardcore challenges that Christianity offers. It's not all comfort, you know?
Oh, no, not at all. And I'm thinking of your statue in Dublin and also the incident. One, the having being followed and accosted by a homeless guy while you're on your way to the dedication just proves that God has a very wicked sense of humor. Wicked in the New England sense, but a very interesting sense of humor.
Exactly. Yeah. I think it's also like people say it's, you know, I think it was in the list of the 10 most shocking representations of Jesus.
And there really?
When I saw this, I was really upset because it's most of the artwork that is shocking of Jesus is defacing it in a sense.
Right.
You know, the Piss of Christ art piece that was done 20 years ago that people are still talking about, where a crucifix was put in a container of urine. And, you know, and then you have the Chocolate Mary, and, you know, you have infinite amount of avant-garde artists just trying to be shocking for the sake of shock, right? And what I think about the homeless Jesus is it's shocking only as much as the gospel shocking, not one bit more, right? And that's mm-hmm. I think good on the sculpture in a sense. And my intention doing it was completely sincere in bringing forth the gospels. And I think also artwork, Christian artwork, and I'm working on the perfect Jesus in my studio for hours, right? So I don't have any problem with representing Mary or Jesus as being beautiful. I think that's great, right? Why not? But also there has to be room in Christian artwork to show other ways of interpreting, right? And so that's I think what the sculptures really opening up. And I think it's important, you know, there's many different ways of perceiving your relationship with Jesus. And I think that it's good to have that out there. And I think that so many people are kind of worn down by seeing the conventional, traditional representations of Jesus that they don't even see. It becomes invisible in a sense because they've seen it so much. Like I mentioned, Google Jesus images on the website, and there's that one standard that, in a sense, you know, 25 years being a Christian sculptor, I fear that sometimes that artwork can become a disconnect and could not lure people into the faith, but almost discourage them to see how awesome Catholicism and Christianity is, right? Because, you know, it looks so predictable. It looks so, you know, ornamental. And our faith is not an ornament in a sense, right? And
not at all.
Yeah, and it's not predictable, right? And so I think that a lot of churches and a lot of groups are appealing to this is because it's kind of a visual ambassador to Catholicism and Christianity. And it kind of says that what's inside that church or that cathedral, it's going to challenge you. It's not just your mother's, you know, meatloaf, right? It's, and I think that we need those visual ambassadors out there to point to some of the hardcore ideas that our faith has to offer, right?
Absolutely. I'm thinking when you were talking about the sculpture being in Dublin at the right in front of the cathedral, I thought of a line from St. John Chrysostom where he said, if you do not find Christ in the beggar at the church door, neither will you find him in the chalice. And that's a very, it's like most things, sermons of St. John, they're very tough and hit you as they should. And just like the words of Christ, they should make you uncomfortable and they should make you say, oh no, I don't do that. But, and that's what I think is a great about Christian art, that sometimes it can transcend our comfort and our everyday notions of what we think Christianity is and what we think Jesus is and kind of shakes us to suddenly see, oh no, this is very different.
Yeah.
And it's going to be a wild ride.
Yeah. And that's, I think, like you quote, literature, and like, I love, writers like, René Girard. I've almost read every single book of his. And you look at the literature and the theology that's in print, that's out there. And, what I find is that, still some of the visual ambassadors are lagging behind. You know what I mean? My quest, in a sense, is, and my hope, and I've had this for more than a decade, I've been thinking that the best idea as a Christian artist is if I can do a sculpture and create a sculpture that someone that does not like religion can say, that's absolutely cool, because that's, in a sense, a way of luring them into the theology, in a sense. And I had that, I did the sculpture with 150 saints, and it's called One Body, the sculpture. I sculpted 150 saints in one sculpture. And I remember this truck driver came in my studio, long haired dude. He's just like, that's awesome. And he was just looking at it. And then other people would come in and stare at this. Oh, look at this. You know, and this is all the heritage of our saints, which, you know, you can really present in a great way. Because so much imagery that can be going on there. So that's what I've been thinking for decades, is the idea that if I can do a sculpture that is very powerful, perhaps people think that our faith, our religion is powerful, right? And so I think that's what the homeless Jesus is touching on as well, right?
Yes, and you had visited this before. I think you had another statue called Whatsoever You Do that you have done before.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. I've been, and that was, I think I did that piece around 13 years ago, and it's very similar to the homeless Jesus, so much so that I thought, that's almost too close to my other piece, and I thought, I can copy off of myself, right? I'm glad I did, because the interesting thing is Whatsoever You Do, which it's basically part of Matthew 25, where I was hungry and thirsty. And so you have a guy, a figure begging, who again is Jesus, right? Interesting thing about that, when I think the thing about the homeless Jesus, which is not part of the Matthew 25 per se, it's not like strictly one. Like I've just recently did When I Was Sick, You Visited Me, which is a sick person, right? But the homeless Jesus, the haunting thing about that is he's asking nothing of you. And it's just, when you have a sleeping figure that's sleeping on a park bench, it becomes haunting. And you know, it's interesting that it's become almost theater, in a sense, where many different places people thought it was a real person. And that's a, like a really cool art thing to happen, where initially you think that, oh, that art is actually part of reality. And then you come in and then you see it's an art piece. But then what I love is then you get the Christian message. So it's like three-tiered on this one, right? And initially you might think it's a real person. Actually, up here in Canada, there's a one installed downtown Hamilton, a big city in Ontario. And as the snow started flying, you know, right around Christmas time, there's a layer of snow over top of the homeless Jesus. Someone called the paramedics, and they all came around it, and they realized, oh, it's a sculpture of Jesus. The person's not dead. And so the paramedics loved it because then they tweeted out to, you know, be kind to people and everything like that. It was a great introduction to crap that these paramedics have to deal with all the time with real homeless people. It was packaged in a way because it's artwork, it was easier to present. And that reminds me, talking about Dublin, the idea of one of my favorite writers is Oscar Wilde. And one of his essays called Decay of Line, it's talking all about the value of artwork in our society. And one of my favorite quotes of his is, people in London didn't see the fog until the painters started painting it. And there is some absolutely amazing thing that happens with artwork. But it almost seems to be a quality that artwork has alone, and that is it can make people see something, and it can make visible what oftentimes is invisible. And so to use that power of artwork, in a sense, to make people see that gospel message, is, I think absolutely amazing. And I do believe that if every single city has a homeless Jesus, it's, you have to be constantly, if you're in that city, reminded of the gospel of Matthew 25, whether you want to or not, in a sense, right? And I think that's one message that you can never get tired of basically being put in front of your face. So, you know, you have all these big cities where there's advertisement, billboards, even on buses and everything like that, advertising everything. But homeless Jesus is advertising such an important idea. And, you know, I've only been to several of the dedications, the Dublin one, Detroit, downtown Detroit, St. Peter and Paul's historic church. They installed that one. And then over to Buffalo. I've been to some of these dedications and I met some of the people. And in these inner cities, some of these dedications, a lot of homeless people come out. And that was one of the most amazing moments for me to understand. I kind of created a sculpture for homeowners. And I realized quickly after I created it that if you're a homeless person and you see the Son of Man looking a lot like you, and say you're an African American who you've grown up your whole life seeing Jesus looking like, you know, Arnold Schwarzenegger, right? Now you finally see, okay, you know, this person could be me here. I think that's absolutely amazing, right? One of the meaningful locations that the piece was installed was at Jude City in Montgomery, Alabama. And actually the March from Selma of Martin Luther King stopped at St. Jude City in Montgomery, Alabama. Why? Because they were the only people that gave these marchers, these protesters, food and shelter. And so they were going to put up a sculpture of Martin Luther King, and then they decided to take homeless Jesus and install that at their campus instead. I thought that was really, really an awesome idea. I, you know, being a Christian sculptor, right now I have a whole studio filled with perfect Jesuses that are, yes, they're Eurocentric, right? But I've done sculptures of African American Jesus and Madonna and Child and everything. I always find it very difficult to do the face of Jesus. And
yes,
it's so hard. And as a sculptor, I love the traditions and I love our European heritage, Angelo da Vinci. Those are some of the reasons why I became an artist myself, right? But it's hard. It really is a struggle, right? And so what I find fascinating, I think that greatest face of Jesus I created was the ones that had no faces, because then people can use their imagination, but also they can see, if they can see the shrouded face, they can put their brother and sister inside that figure, right? So.
And so you mentioned a couple artists, but who are some of your inspirations for wanting to create these sculptures?
I have faith that artwork does have the power to change. And so I do believe that although I do love the great masters and everything, I do believe that today, yes, today, something new can be created. And I think that it's been done. And I'm doing it every single day. And what I love about that is that here in the year 2015, an artist like myself can obsessively go in a studio and find new ways of presenting these eternal truths. And, you know, I look 2,000 years of Christianity, and so much more that can be formed out of that endless well. And as far as creativity is concerned, it is an endless well. I'm thinking, oh, I have to do this sculpture, I have to do that sculpture. So much that can be brought out from the Gospels and presented. And it's just like, I think artwork is really just like homilies for a priest in a sense, right? And mm-hmm. You're not going to say, okay, there's enough homilies out there. Let's stop making new ones. Let's use the ones we did in the 1800s, right? Because that's part of the church, right? Adding new saints. There's never going to be enough saints. There's always different ways of expression. I think that sculpture to express our faith is and artwork is important too. And so that's what I'm working on. So I do love the great masters. Who doesn't? What I do believe is that those great masters now have a message that wasn't necessarily intended, and that is the church is old, right? Mm-hmm. And because when you go to Rome, I love Rome.
Me too.
It's amazing. And the artwork. But there is some message that wasn't put in there 600 years ago, and that is the church is old. You could say it's eternal, which is great. But I think in our modern day culture, a lot of people think it's antiquated in a sense. And I want to blast out of that. Creating a new artwork that celebrates our faith too, right? But it is the idea that just like there's new saints out there, new sculpture should be born. And so I'm kind of the instrument of that piece in a sense. I think it's interesting that out of 2,000 years of Christianity, why did the homeless Jesus come down right now? Why was it born right now? And then you look at the situation. I did it like 5 years ago. It was a world recession. And our culture, the rich are getting to the extreme rich. And then the poor are getting even more poor. And so I think within that opening up of a space, homeless Jesus fell down. And so I think that, I think that in a sense, it's providential, where peace is created, and for a specific reason. You know, it wasn't necessarily, it was me being impacted by seeing a real homeless person. Not, this is what is some ingredient thing that I developed in my studio, listening to my King James tapes on, and it was me going out of my studio and actually, having that experience. And then creating the sculpture that I do believe is providential. Just like they say, they have popes for specific times.
Yes.
And you think about Pope Francis right after this hangover of a world recession that we're still kind of working through. Here's Pope Francis. His message is we should be a poor church for the poor. His message is that we should take care of the refugees. And the messages he have, I think, are for today, right? It's interesting because I created the sculpture. The first cast of the sculpture was installed. And then 2 weeks later, we have Pope Francis. And I said, this is interesting to me. The first cast was put at a Jesuit a school of theology, part of the University of Toronto. And then we have our first Jesuit Pope here. And I thought, oh, isn't this so interesting, right? But I think artwork is created or born, you could say, for a specific time and for us to think. You know, Rodin's the thinker, right? You know, that I think turn of the century, 1902, right before the World Wars, you had such optimism. You had, you know, this kind of this age of reason that was happening about, you know, this hope and optimism about the human spirit. And I think it was a little bit secular optimism and hope, but I think that's why you have the thinker that became very iconic. Because I think he captured the mood at the late 1800s. Where everyone was, you know, thinking about, you know, almost like an enlightenment, that the world is great, right? This is right before World War One, when, oh my God, the horrors that happened there. But the human spirit, a man could do anything. Man, the thinker, could do anything. I think naturally a sculpture like The Thinker would have become a very eminent message, right?
Oh, I absolutely agree. And art does have a way of expressing, I think, good art, I should say, has a way of expressing certain things that we were always feeling but not always aware of. That could be with the novel or the painting. And I've seen some work that you've done, another great sculpture that I absolutely love, and we'll again conclude pictures. But you had one, I think it was the sculpture of St. Padre Pio as the confessor.
Yes, I love that experience. I love that experience. Can you put a picture of that up?
I hope. We'll put pictures of everything. Trust me.
But that piece there was I did that piece right after I did Homeless Jesus. And let me just take 2 minutes to talk about that.
Please.
Because it was out of frustration. I'm doing all this research to do a sculpture of Padre Pio. And on the internet, it's all about, skepticism about his stigmata. And it seems all about his stigmata. This doctor says it was a fake. This doctor says, you know, this could actually happen. Mm. And at one time over my research, I just kind of threw my own hands up and said, it's just, don't you get it? He was just an imitator of Jesus, right? He was an imitator of Christ, I said. At that moment, I thought, I got the sculpture, right? And then what I decided to do was show that, not hiding from the idea of the hands at all. The hands are an eminent point in it. So you have Padre Pio at a confessional. He's kind of the patron saint of the Sacrament of Reconciliation. So I have him at a confessional, and he's sitting down, and there's the screen where there's two seats. He's on the one side, and he has his hand reaching out as if he's very intensely listening to the person that is on the other side of the screen. And so it's a life-size sculpture. So you walk around the sculpture and you sit at the confessional seat, thinking that when you peer through the window, you're going to see Padre Pio. But what I did was I sculpted inside the window Jesus in the exact same position as the Padre Pio. Now it's Jesus. Now it doesn't have a cloth glove on the hand.
Mm-hmm.
It's the exposed hand of Jesus with the stigmata visible. But I think a sculpture as much on the idea of the Sacrament of Reconciliation as it is a Padre Pio. It was an amazing experience doing that piece. It was just a phenomenal point in my life to come up with a way that I can kind of have an interesting way of teaching about the saint, as opposed to just having him standing like a tin soldier or something. Yes. Like that. And I do like to do sculptures like that, that kind of are things that you can only do with sculpture, right? That's like, I love a song or a piece of music that only works when it's music. You can't move it over. And I think the same with sculpture too. I thought when I was creating that piece, that you have to actually participate in the sculpture. You can't just, you have to turn it around. And that's what sculpture is all about. It's three dimensional, right? Now, I think the cool mm-hmm. thing about that and a couple of my other pieces is that when you become, when you can sit down and engage in a sculpture like this, in a sense, I hope that the idea that our faith is something that you have to be engaged with too, right? So another piece, I don't know if you've seen the Last Supper sculpture, right?
Yes.
I this is like 12 years ago, I decided that all my great favorite artists, you know, they do these iconic videos. I thought, what's the greatest or one of the greatest? Da Vinci's Last Supper. I thought, oh yeah, there's hundreds of artists have done the Last Supper. I'm going to do my Last Supper. So I started to do it, and I realized instantly that instead of the 12 apostles, there's going to be Jesus at a horizontal table, just like Da Vinci's Last Supper, and 12 empty seats. Suggests that we have to become the apostles of Christ today. It suggests that our faith is not an ornament that we just passively look at and walk on by, right? I remember my associate and friend Tony came in. He was working at the computer, and then he walks into my big studio at the time, and he says, "That's great. Why haven't you started the other 12 apostles?" I just look at him. I give him one of those looks like, it's like all of a sudden I see his face totally transform, and then he got it. Oh my God. You know, that's it. You know what I mean? And so there's yes. I love that where there's a eureka moment, whether it be you sit down on the bench, you think you're just seeing a homeless person sculpture, and then you realize it's Jesus because of the wounds. Or you sit down thinking you're going to perceive Padre Pio through the window there at the confessional, and you see Jesus. Or the Last Supper. Where are all the other figures? Oh, I guess we have to do something here. It's a challenge in a sense, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So basically, right now I'm working. I just finished When I Was Naked, which for years I was just struggling on more than anything else, is a part in the Gospels where when I was naked, you clothed me. And that has been challenging me, I kid you not, for years. Mm. Sketches. What I do here is I don't have any right in front of me. But I do hundreds of sketches. Well, here's one that I'm working on right now. So I'll do these sketches here. This is Our Lady of Good Counsel, where the scroll, a scroll comes out and has some of the ideas from the Bible. But I'll constantly do sketches. When I was naked for years, and there's ones like right now, more than a year, I've been thinking about love God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind. And so these ideas of parts of the gospel I carry with me, thinking about, tossing over, imagining sculptures, actually making sculptures. Last Holy Week, not this one, I did the sculpture, I threw it in the clay bin, I destroyed it. It didn't work, right? So I'll be challenged with these all the time, but I just finally got when I was naked. Mold's just being done right now, and so I'm so happy.
Wow. I'm excited to hear that. That's very cool that you get that done. And going back to Homeless Jesus, how many cities has this statue now been installed in?
I cannot tell you all of them. I can hardly.
No, that's all right.
But I know Austin, Arizona, Indianapolis, San Antonio, Tampa, Detroit, Buffalo. There's a couple more in cities in Florida. It's almost overwhelming how many are being done, and some of the people are just saving them for a specific time. Ottawa, Canada. They've commissioned one. Denver has theirs, but they're waiting for theirs. Miami, there's two people that wanted it in Miami. And so I had confirmed that one place has the piece. Latest news is the cathedral in Cuba, right in the center of Havana, is installing one. And I think I told you earlier today that the National Cathedral of Spain in Madrid is going to get their sculpture in days, and they're installing it right outside their cathedral. Dublin has theirs, Belfast, a patron, the day after the sculpture was installed in Dublin. I was at a pub, and a patron of mine said, "You will finance the one that goes to Belfast."
And so, wonderful.
So the Protestants and the Catholics are working together and presenting homeless Jesus to the city hall. They want to place it right in front of the city hall there, right? What's in the work? Oh, yeah, India, St. Thomas Mount in India, the place where St. Thomas the Apostle was martyred, has just unveiled their piece this Palm Sunday. And amazing place for it. They put it right in front of this tree that's like an ancient Indian tree, very symbolic of India. And it's like 8 feet wide, this tree. And they placed it right.
Wow.
That's amazing. And yeah, I'm corresponding with Paris right now, in different places around the world. So it's very exciting.
Yes, it is. And it's exciting to see. As someone who loves art and loves his Catholicism, it's nice to have good Christian art for once. So thank you for that. And for anyone who might want to learn, as our final question as we wrap up, for anyone who might want to learn more about you or to find out about your work, where can they find you on the web?
Yeah, if they just Google homeless Jesus now, they'll see a lot of pictures, and you'll quickly find Tim Schmaltz's website, you know.
Oh, okay.
Comes down pretty quick. But you can also see some of the latest news on the sculpture there, too. What I try to do, it's so difficult to keep websites updated. I have a Facebook page, too, Timothy Schmaltz, Sculpture by Timothy Schmaltz Facebook. And that's a place that you can check out most of my recent stuff. I try to put up stuff as soon as possible on there. I also post other news that people are talking about, specific sculptures and everything.
Oh, great. And we'll have all those links as well as some images on CatholicExchange.com. So I encourage everyone who's listening to this to please go and look at this art, find the links, Google homeless Jesus. It's some moving statues. If you're in one of those cities, try to find one. And if you can send us some pictures, I would love to see those as well. Oh, Tim, once again, thank you so much for joining us. This has been great.
Thanks. I loved it.